It's the Daily News Flash from Wine Country with Barry Martin, briefing you on today's top stories.
That is correct, and it's Monday, April 19th, 2021. If you're new to the Splash, then all you need to know is we dive right in early in the morning and set the tone for your day. Anytime you listen to the News Splash, you'll know what the big stories of the day are. And for this Monday, we lead with top story number one, of course, and it has to be that half of Americans have received at least one shot now for the COVID. The government announced this milestone on Sunday, the largest ever vaccination campaign in the history of the United States. Almost 130 million people 18 or older have now gotten at least one dose, slightly over 50%. And about 84 million have been fully vaccinated. That equates to 32.5. So we're about a third of the way, almost a third of the way, for all full vaccination, and halfway there on partial vaccination. That's top story number one for sure. Most of the Bay Area remains stuck in the orange tier. It's been about a month of the delightful orange, but tomorrow there is one county that might finally break free. It's Marin County, right on the edge of getting to the yellow, the least restrictive of the four color-coded tiers, which are scheduled to go away, you know, in less than 2 months. But for now, it's precious to get there. Marin County yellow tier status could come on Tuesday, and would be the first time for that county since the reopening system launched in August. San Francisco is the only Bay Area county that's actually been in the yellow, but immediately almost shot back to the purple, along with every other county in the state, when cases surged in November. Three other counties are getting close to yellow, along with Marin: San Francisco, San Mateo, and Santa Clara. And it looks like 2 weeks away, May the 4th would be the earliest those three might move. It's not a guarantee for Marin, but if they do move tomorrow, it's kind of an encouraging sign, breaking ground for the rest of us to follow. So let's hope it turns out well. That's top story number two today. Number three, mass shooting after mass shooting over the last few days. The most recent, Austin, Texas. The FBI and several other law enforcement agencies, along with the police there, searching for an ex-law enforcement officer who is now a fugitive and the main suspect in that Austin, Texas shooting. 41-year-old Stephen Broderick, suspected of shooting and killing three in Northwest Austin on Sunday. He is a former detective with the Travis County, Texas Sheriff's Office. Meanwhile, a person is under arrest after a shooting at a bar in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Three dead there, three others injured, according to authorities on Sunday. And to cap off the weekend, in Houston, five were shot, two are dead, 3.5 months into the year. Mass shootings in this country have increased by 73% from the same period last year. The criteria, four or more people being shot, makes a mass shooting. The gun violence researchers say each new shooting likely to spark another in a sort of contagion effect. Dr. Gary Slutkin is former head of the World Health Organization's Intervention Development Unit, and talking to Insider said it's a disease, violence, and it is contagious. Since New Year's Day, 3.5 months, 147 mass shootings in this country, compared to 1 year ago, 85 had occurred. This is data published by the Gun Violence Archive. It's also been deadlier so far in 2021. There have been 176 people killed, compared to 92, same period in 2020. Research shows the timing of these incidents is not a coincidence. More people see violence and take it in as normal, and then become more likely to commit violence themselves. What are we going to do? Three mass shootings, just skimming the surface. There were actually several others that we don't have time to go into all of the mass shooting details. What are we going to do? Top story number three. Number four, in Santa Rosa, an embarrassing and awful display, vandals splashing blood and leaving a severed pig's head at the former California home of an expert witness in the trial of Derek Chauvin. This word from Santa Rosa Police. Barry Broad is a former Santa Rosa Police Department officer who testified for the defense in the Derek Chauvin case. He has not lived in the community in years. In fact, he doesn't even live in California anymore. But the home he formerly lived in was attacked over the weekend. Unbelievable behavior. The testimony that Broad gave as an expert witness said that Chauvin was, quote, acting with objective reasonableness following Minneapolis Police Department policy and current standards of law enforcement. That report from ABC News. Several other experts, of course, testified that Chauvin's actions were not in keeping with law enforcement standards and policies. In this situation in Santa Rosa, residents called police at 3 a.m., reporting that intruders dressed in black had thrown a pig's head on the porch and splashed blood on the doorway. About 45 minutes later, the same group splashed blood on that giant sculpture of a hand outside the Santa Rosa Plaza Mall, left a sign reading oink, oink with a picture of a pig. That word from Santa Rosa Police. What an embarrassing and disgusting display in neighboring Santa Rosa. Meanwhile, the National Basketball Association is getting prepared to postpone games if necessary, responding to the upcoming verdict in the Chauvin trial. That out from ESPN. Chauvin's case has closing arguments today. It's expected those closing arguments will immediately lead to instructions for the jury to be sequestered, and no one knows going into the deliberations phase whether it will be a matter of hours or days, but of course Minneapolis and the whole country on edge a bit, waiting for the verdict, which should occur sometime this week. It could be as early as later today, conceivably. Not likely, but possible. That's top story number four. Top story number five. What exactly happened with a Tesla crash remains to be determined, but we know that it happened and two men are dead after a Tesla traveling in Spring, Texas, crashed into a tree. This happened about 11:30 in the evening in a Carlton Woods subdivision. The vehicle carrying two men apparently had neither of them at the wheel at the time. In fact, reports are that one man was in the passenger seat and the other man was in the back seat. And apparently, the vehicle failed to negotiate a turn in a cul-de-sac and smashed into the tree and burst into flames. Reports also indicate that the fire was so difficult to put out that firefighters contacted Tesla for some kind of advice on how to extinguish the batteries, which were reigniting. Apparently, firefighters thought they had the thing put out and it would restart. So that's a whole new aspect of the electric vehicle world that you may not have encountered before. It's a fully electric 2019 Tesla. And there are indications from some folks connected to this sad story that there was perhaps a test drive scenario. As mentioned, it's almost 11:30 at night. The possibility there was some partying going on of some kind. And the suggestion seems to be that, hey, come see how cool it is when the car drives itself. And something didn't turn out the way it was supposed to have. So two are dead in this Tesla crash. And I'm sure there'll be a lot more reporting on that story so we can help learn and understand what exactly happened there. Top story number five for today. And number six, we got some economic news. The Small Business Administration over the weekend launched a new program providing emergency assistance for restaurants and bars and other type businesses impacted by the COVID. The Restaurant Revitalization Fund will provide restaurants with funding equal to their pandemic-related revenue loss, up to $10 million. Recipients not required to repay this funding as long as the funds are used for eligible purposes, and they have until spring of 2023 to expend that money. So a very welcome situation for those in the restaurant, bar, and similar businesses with the Restaurant Revitalization Fund coming alive. It's been rumored and talked about for quite some time, and now it's coming online. That's Top Story 6 today. In Napa County, the unemployment rate down to 6.6% in March. That's a 0.5% drop from February compared to a year ago when it was just 3.7%. It seems terrible, but we're getting there. In March, the unadjusted employment rate was 8.2% for California and 6.2% for the nation as a whole. The EDD out with those numbers. The number of people looking for work in Napa County is about 4,500. One job category that saw an increase year to year is retail trade, work in the cash register, folding the sweaters. The number of retail jobs in Napa County up from 6,400 to 6,900. Leisure and hospitality, along with construction jobs, showed increases in employment as revitalization and restarting of the economy continues. That's top story number 7. Number 8 for today, I don't know, I might have made a mistake not including this item higher in the list. Some people are calling it a Wright Brothers moment. The Mars Ingenuity helicopter made its first successful flight just a few hours ago. It's the first ever powered flight on another planet. That is not it's nothing to sneeze your nose at, as they say. This is a major achievement. Nobody was sure it was really going to work. The 4-pound Ingenuity helicopter rose to a height of about 10 feet, hovered for around 20 seconds, rotated 100 degrees, and then landed. That's it. NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab broadcast the reception of test results early this morning. Mars Ingenuity works on the surface, and they'll be, of course, flying that thing around a bunch of times during the current visit there. That's top story number 8, but, you know, could have been, you know, for some people that was the number one story of the day. We'll find out. You can judge me later if you choose. And top story number 9 is an interesting one as the economy rebounds. An incentive for those who might want to visit the state of Alaska. As of June 1st, the state there, to encourage travel, will give a free vaccine at the airport to somebody who's coming in for tourism at Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, or Ketchikan. This from Governor Mike Dunleavy in Alaska, tweeting that any tourist visiting Alaska this summer can get a COVID vaccine at the airport free of charge. Alaska was the first state to make anyone 16 or older living or working in the state eligible for a shot. That's top story number 9, and that's our Daily News Splash. Top stories of the day within 14 minutes and 40 seconds or less, and it's always here on 1440 KVON. That's the way it looks for Monday, April 19th, 2021.
That was your Daily News Splash from Wine Country with Barry Martin.